Shut up, bitches. I'm Frenchy Squeak George Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Oh, welcome everybody to Eat Sleep Elite. We are a weekly wrestling podcast. Today is a bonus episode, or well, whatever the fuck you want to call it. It's AEW World's End pay-per-view post-show. I'm Charlie, joined as always by the evangelist of the imagination, the wonderful, the Duke of Derps. How's it going, my buddy Duke?
Bouncing on Amiibo, yeah.
Safe to say, last night at AEW World's End was a very, very fun show, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun really just diving into this.
A lot of verisimilitude last night.
Yeah, no kidding. We had some fucking... God, from top to bottom, I want to say, like, one of the most consistent cards, like, ever. I don't think there was a single wasted minute. And I know some people might disagree with that main event, but yeah, I really thought this was just a fucking phenomenal show that it felt like it was cut perfectly.
Super glad to hear that, because... You were there in person, and there were some things that happened on this show that I was just wondering if they, you know, I always wonder this. This is why I love when you go to the shows live, because I wonder how much of this translates live to an audience that are there seeing it with their own eyes, as it, because they, you know, it's really easy to shoot it on TV, you know? There's another thing, or I guess for pay-per-view, you know what I mean? But, like, it's really difficult to know what works. I love that we're going to have both perspectives on it, because I was obviously sitting
at home. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
You were there in person, and... You know, if you want to know, technically you could hear Charlie chanting, because I know that motherfucker was doing all the chants. He probably led them.
I might have lost my fucking marbles with Lord Kenneth, but
Lord Kenneth.
But I guess just real quick, we'll get some overall thoughts on the show. I kind of touched on mine. So Duke, what was your takes on the show? Pretty much.
Well, the only thing I tweeted pretty much was, I'm not crying, you're crying, with regards to Kenny. Look, I was actually planning on live tweeting this show. I was so locked in from match one. Like, I'll put it to you like this. I was like, all right, you know, pre-show had just ended. I'd just gotten home from, like, going out to do, like, a family Christmas. Sat down, got the computer all booted up, finally got the stream to start working. And fucking Will's music hit, and I was fucking gone from there. The whole show had me locked from rip. I was like, "Oh, we're fucking starting here."
Oh my god! You want to get your fucking you want to get your Ghiblis rustling? Yeah, no, yeah, I was gonna try and post some skeets during the show, but I just had zero fucking service, so I just posted one after of a quick picture at Kenny Omega's entrance. Thought that was felt fitting, right? But. Yeah, I guess let's dive into this a little bit. So on Zero Hour, we opened with kind of talking about Layla Gray and her Zero Hour debut. And they're really talking more about Layla in terms of how she's really been putting in that extra work for these past few months. She's been training in the New Japan dojos. She's been taking all these reps in OVW. Like, everywhere she goes, Layla Gray is seeking these opportunities. So. With 2024 kind of being the year of Queen Aminata, 2023 being the year of Sky Blue, could 2025 be the year of Layla Gray? It certainly seems.
I mean, why not?
Like, they're teeing her up for that. So I would love to see it. And we jumped right into her match with Toni Storm and Layla Gray. The She's a Rookie stuff was brilliant. I guess Nigel was calling them both rookies on Zero Hour. I was like, all right, this is fucking good. But yeah, Toni won with her inside cradle for the flash pin.
I knew we were in for a good show. We started up the She's a Rookie.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, come on, crowd. We're meeting literally already in the pre-show.
Jeff Jarrett, who had some fucking brilliant reactions. Well, honestly, when Jeff Jarrett's music hit and the reaction he got, I was like, okay, we might be in for something pretty fucking cool, which I will touch on that. And he just beat QT Marshall real quick with the stroke for the win. Backstage interview, I believe this was on the pre-show, where he said, on Wednesday, he's going to be talking about his future, talking about the future of his career. So
I think we might actually be setting up with him for something, for like an actual angle, like run maybe. Because I remember we said last year during his run during the Owen, this guy actually has something. And I think even at his age, especially with how good he still is in the ring, I think we got to give him a shot to do something. I think we even said championship.
I'll still say it. I mean, even last night, he had the best punches thrown at that fucking show. So
the guy, not wrong.
He's older, but he knows what he's doing. He's just so technically sound at the shit he's doing.
You know
what? It's like a well-oiled machine.
Such a great opportunity to bring this up, because we're probably not going to bring up the scrum much, but I did watch it. So I actually did, we didn't record right after. So I could actually watch it right after the show ended. I just flipped it straight on. And the first three people on it were Rated FTR. And Adam Copeland in the interview basically said, yeah, and we were a part of this. I remember people were coming out and saying, man, should he still be doing this? I remember we had that conversation. Should he still be diving off cages? I think we both landed on probably not. But, you know, I think we did ultimately say, but we trust Adam Copeland to know his body.
Yeah. And so he's going to know what he really wants to do. Yeah,
he knows. And Dax also said, like, who, you know, if somebody the caliber of Adam Copeland wants to go out there in this case. You know, anybody who's really in the business and knows their own body better than the person that's watching from home on TV, you know, like they know. And if he breaks his leg, that's on him. You know what I mean? You know, but like it's not for us to say whether or not, oh, should he be doing that? I mean, especially, you know, if we're not even people that have, you know, ever taken a bump. I mean, where is us for us to say like that? But at the same time, I do worry, you know, I don't want them to get hurt. That's at the end. Yeah, I'll still be a fan. And
he might
be
hit with some of those please be careful chants.
Oh, yeah, because we just don't want him to like he says, you know, he has kids and stuff. So we want to make sure he could still have the, you know, it's like with Brian. We were all okay with that being the angle, because we're like, yeah, we would even if it's not really true, we'd love Brian to not have to not be able to, you know, pick up his kids and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, because he deserves better than that, you know? So, but at the same time, I trust these people to know their bodies and know their limitations. So, you know,
100%. Lexi had a backstage interview with Toni Storm, and Deonna Purrazzo kind of walked up and she's just totally gaslighting her about, you know, hey, what if we have our first time ever match? And it's like, I just love Deonna's character here. She has been really, really good. And, you know, again, it kind of shows one of the biggest strengths with the women's division this year has been, when we are taking some of these characters out of programming, we're still keeping them relevant. And Deonna Purrazzo has been still working on this new character and developing more and more, even though she hasn't been in title programs. So now she can walk in, have this Toni Storm match for my first Collision I'm covering.
Oh, hello. And what have we here?
And, you know, because this is fun. Remember, they had the matching tattoos. Like, they have such a brilliant story together, and she just gaslighting the shit out of her. And Toni Storm's like, thank you for this opportunity. Murder Machines, Lio Rush in action, Andretti defeat the Outrunners. I believe the pin went, Brian Cage did all the work and Lio tagged himself in and took the pin. They're next up. They get a match on Collision for those titles. Private Party came out, addressed the top contenders.
I did like that it wasn't like other times when we have like a slap together title match like this. Like this title match, for those who weren't paying attention, if you like just didn't give a shit about the tag division because it's been kind of, you know, not really used as much lately. Like they may not like necessarily like know what the story is here. And for this, for those of us who's like, who the fuck are these two guys? Why are they wrestling for the titles? They fucking ran out and immediately started brawling with them. And Private Party didn't have a fucking second thought. They're like, nope, fuck these guys. They're coming after our title, so let's beat their ass. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, 100%. I'm down with that, you know?
Yeah. It works. It works. And again, another match from my first Collision. Fuck you. All right. Fuck and we you. Get... Fuck me! No, fuck me! Wait, no, what? We get a video package of the Guns N' Roses Welcome to the Jungle, and I gotta tell you, the fucking vibes when that was going,
dude, you could feel the energy during this. I was like, bro, this fucking video, I wish you had service, bro.
Dude, I could literally, it was like a fucking gate when I walked in that building.
Oh, dude, some places are like that.
It completely chopped off.
I was like, I swear to God, it's just like the thickness of the walls. Even when I go to like the place that they used to do wrestling shows at locally to me, it still was, and that was like a concert place too, so you'd assume they'd need to have some kind of internet connectivity now, but like either way, back then I noticed it, and I was on a crappier phone, but back then I feel like the signals were stronger on those like Go phones.
Yeah,
because, you know what I mean? I don't know, cell towers are different now or something, I don't know, but
the vibes during this video, you could feel it. I mean, you could literally feel the energy. shifting a little bit, like, oh, it's time.
Well, I hope this implies, too, because this is a different song, obviously, than November Rain, that we have, like, a decent relationship with Guns N' Roses, and they're just a big fan of their stuff being, like, over AEW footage. Because if so, that's awesome, and I don't even care if we're paying for it. It's still
I was going to say, even if they're not, they're happy to take the fucking check. So,
Hundo P.
We open up this AEW World's End with a Continental Classic semifinal match where Will Ospreay takes on and defeats Kyle Fletcher. Dude, okay. For starters,
I did have a few stream issues during the beginning of this, so I'll keep it a buck and tell everyone that I didn't really start to get to watch this match until Will was already completely covered in blood. So I'll just keep that a buck.
He sported that crimson mask. Yeah, this was – it was very, very fast-paced, okay, just as you'd expect.
The match for me. It worked because I was like, holy shit, he's already bleeding. And I missed the 5 minutes that happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it told enough story. Like, shit.
Some brilliant heat for Kyle Fletcher. And this match, it rivaled their match that they had at Full Gear. It was that good. And there's a chance Ospreay had 2 5-star matches in the same
match
night.
Of the year? Bro, match of the year is literally pick a Will Ospreay match this year. It's quite literally like
it is, and that's it's kind of insane. You can take your pick literally, and it could be match of the year on multiple fucking shows.
Like if we did like top 5 matches of the year, he would be all 5, and it would be like just 5 different of his opponents, which is insane. Like
because he brings this energy that just it's so infectious with the crowd, and Kyle was getting such great heat, which we can acknowledge this now. One of our newest pillars, Kyle Fletcher, looked incredible in this match. Licking the blood, the you sick fuck chance. I just thought this was a brilliant, brilliant match that I'm so glad Ospreay won. He had to defy his fucking former protege. And Duke winning with the Styles Clash. So there's no bitch in here that it can be a transition move that some people try and say, oh, how could you turn that into a transition move? He pinned someone on a pay-per-view with it. There you go. I love it. Brilliant stuff. Yeah, just what else did you think about this one? This was just so much fun.
So you were in the building, so you didn't get to see this. There was a fun moment where Kyle ripped up a sign that said "Will," something just saying "Ospreay better" on it, and then a fan immediately pulled out another sign that said "Ospreay still better."
Fucking geniuses!
And I'm just like, I love AEW fans. That would never happen in a WWE show. Like it maybe would happen once every 5 years in a WWE show, and then people would be like, it would be memed forever. You know what I mean? Like, this will be forgotten because so much crazy shit happens in AEW crowds. Like, I just love the vibes of this match because, like, this is exactly what AEW fans fucking love. This is the tournament for the sickos, and all the sickos turned out for this one. And I gotta say, man, if this is how we're ending every year on this high of a note with the classic ending and with all these big title match feuds and, like, you know, giant rivalries happening at the same time. I mean, I don't know, bro. I was like hype for this show, like more than I have been, I think, for some of the last couple pay-per-views for not any particular reason. I think it's just
the way this one's been built, and it was only 8 matches, and they were just all powerhouse matches.
Yes, and even the ones that I wasn't as excited for, like Adam Cole versus MJF, delivered in a way that I could never have expected them to, you know what I mean? And so, like, I just was, God, and that's another fucking moment you got to see live. You fucking lucky son of a bitch. Anyway, but fucking, I'm just sitting here realizing that you got to see some even crazier shit. But, like, yeah, I mean, oh, dude, this hard-hitting as fuck. Like, the crowd cooked for the near fall. Some of the most crisp wrestling I think I saw all year. I mean, you seriously are going to have a conversation with yourself between this match, the match that him and Konosuke just every match that Will had this year, you have to basically weigh against each other and say, which match on which pay-per-view meant more to me and why? And I could see, like, for this match, the big thing here, I think, is, yes, Will won, ultimately, because I think everybody knew we were doing Will versus Okada. I mean, you have the opportunity.
You had to.
You had to do it.
That's why, and having these semifinal matches, really, round of applause. This was a genius decision.
And Kyle doesn't lose anything for losing this. In fact, I think
Kyle
gained something for it.
Got to wrestle on the pay-per-view.
100%. And I got to wrestle with two of the best wrestlers in the world. The best wrestler in the world if you're wrestling Will, you know what I mean? And And what I was getting at is Kyle is – this is still a career-making match for him, even though he loses, even though he's probably going to go off and maybe just be in singles for a bit or doing something else, or maybe even be off TV for a while, you know, for less exposure or something. Either way, but I mean, it couldn't have worked out better for the guy other than if he went on to win the championship, but I just don't think that was in the cards this year with all the titans you had coming in this year. You had to have guys like Okada and Will kind of defining this tournament. And what a absolute blast of a match from start to finish. Like I said, I was locked in. I mean, the parts that I did see, obviously. I do plan on going back and watching like the opening bits because I fully need to have experienced this match. And God damn it, the stream had to do its shit on me. But, you know, in person, I mean, the energy in this room had to be fucking insane. Like,
yeah, I mean, from the moment Ospreay's music hits, there's just a difference. And it was really fucking neat. And I just thought Kyle really fucking stuck the landing for this. I mean, this was a one hell of a year for Kyle Fletcher. And I really hope, and I do believe, considering we picked him as our pillar, that he is going to build off of this and really have a special 2025.
Now, I think Aminata and Anna Jay will go on to do some really cool stuff next year, especially if either of them hear that they got given any kind of honor by anybody, even if it's like our little, you know, podcast. I think they would still take that to mean something, you know what I mean? But I think Kyle I feel confident in saying this, has the brightest future of any of our current pillars. And this is just more fucking proof of that. You know what I mean?
Like, it's insane. You know? It's insane how good he is. This was really, really fun match. But then we jump to our next one, where we had Kazuchika Okada take on and defeat Ricochet in the Continental Classic League semifinal. And I'll let you take the lead on this one. Na 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 na, hey, 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 you're bald.
Yeah. So it's funny. I actually, there's an interesting thing that I wrote in my notes is that this match in my head played out a certain way, like on paper, you know what I mean? And I think that's basically exactly how it played out in the ring, which is, you have the genius wrestler in Kazuchika Okada. And by the way, brilliant decision to throw in these two back-to-back, I got to say. I didn't know if they would do that. I think last year they spaced them out a little bit. And I think this is the right decision. Just start to show off strong with your two, you know, probably your two best matches on paper initially, you know, that you're going to get probably. I mean, there's some matches that could have gone and I'd done this and maybe even did. But I think this match in particular, being put where it was, really helped to build the hype around not just the tournament finale, but just the whole thing in general, because it allowed them opportunity and space to then put an interview with Will here, put an interview eventually with Okada later, and then build that up toward, you know, the ending of the show. But anyway, so he was trying to ground the athleticism like the freakish fucking flippy boy, basically. You know, he was trying to keep him from getting that stuff going, and ultimately ended up succeeding in that attempt, you know what I mean? And Ricochet's sort of anger and sort of going down this heelish route lately. The aha, you know. By the way, there was a sign in the crowd that says that Ricochet as we riot, so that was pretty funny.
That son of a bitch.
He did it too. He definitely did it. He's getting that shit over, dude. But anyway, fucking God, just, I mean, again, like, what do you expect when you put four of these guys who are, I mean, I'll say it, I don't give a shit. You can say I'm fucking Glazer or fucking whatever. Ricochet is among the best wrestlers in the world, whether you think so or not, you know, like, and you put four of them on the same show and you put them in a tournament, you know, semifinals to finals together, and we're going to get fucking magic. It's just the way that it works. You know what I mean? It's funny too. If you'd taken any combo of these four, you would have had a finale that would have been worth watching. And that's what's so amazing about these combos. You have the history with Will and Ricochet. You have the new history that just formed between Kyle and Okada. You have the new stuff. I mean, and there's also a little bit of history there just from New Japan. I'm sure he, you know, participated in a tournament against him at some point. If he didn't, that's just wasted opportunity by New Japan. But the point is, and you have, obviously you have Will versus Okada, which is just looks like on paper, like a godly tier match. I mean, I at this point, I was so fucking like mentally like, oh my God, they're actually doing it. We're getting Will versus so fucking Okada on this card. And we're just sitting through another insane match right now where Ricochet and the crowd just going insane. all the little chants, like you already mentioned, that you were bald and stuff like that. And there was just so, I mean, I was so, Charlie, I don't even know how to describe this portion of the show, but I think I was so locked in that I just, all I could think was, my God, what a fucking, what a time to be alive as a wrestling fan, you know?
Yes, and they took a slower approach to this match, but it was a methodical slow approach. And even the funny bits of Okada's comedy that he does, like when he hit his rope running, just to slap Ricochet's bald head, and Ricochet sold it.
Have you seen the gif of that?
Dude, it's so good. I just thought they worked a well-executed match because they let the previous match be that athletic supercase. And while Ricochet still was able to get his shit in with his athletic ability, they didn't try and like replicate that match. I thought this was a fun match. And then our post-match angle...
No, that's the thing I was trying to get at. Okada did the thing I would have done if I was trying to be Ricochet. He just grounded the guy. He did the thing. Like, you know, he grounded the flyer. And he ultimately ended up being the better wrestler, which, you know, that's something that Ricochet can then take into his character. By the way, I didn't even think about this. Ricochet's whole character right now is that he's kind of losing his shit because he keeps losing in these big moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm so interested to see where he takes this because this guy has never had opportunities for this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And so I'm really fucking excited to see what he does with this.
The kayfabe of what it's done is wrestlers are not taking him seriously anymore. And that is what we're going to see. I think Ricochet take this to the next level now is how can he prove these people wrong?
And his next opponent is going to make magic with him. And it's going to be one of the most athletic matches I think either of us have ever seen in our lives. You know, like,
yeah,
because he's taking on Swerve next.
Okada goes to the back. One toilet paper flies in the ring. Swerve's music hits. He comes to the stage with a mic. He congratulates Ricochet. You made it just as far as I did last year. But you said you were going to win it. Being a man of his words, that if Ricochet blew it, he'd make him feel it. Big. All Ricochet has done since coming to AEW is run his mouth. He talks a lot of mess. Strickland is here to clean up the mess. Prince Nana comes out with this fucking wagon full of toilet paper, tosses them to the crowd. He says, we're going to wish Ricochet a happy new year. He counts down. They say happy new year. They all cover him with fucking toilet paper. Swerve calls him Trevor, which I believe is his shoot name. So that's kind of cool. And Ricochet is just, he didn't even move. He was so fucking pissed. That look that Ricochet gave. Yeah, this shit's working, man. I can't wait to see the heights he achieves in 2025. He has been such a great addition. What AEW in 2024 has brought in some free agents. And remember Tony Khan made that statement, I think it was like in February, that, 2024 is the new 2021. And with all these fucking acquisitions he made in 2024, he truly did it.
Yeah, good luck picking signing of the year. It's a wash. Good luck.
Yeah, it's almost impossible because you can make a case for everyone.
It's like, you can say Will. Oh, yeah, Will. Will seems pretty obvious, right? Although, we kind of considered him for that last year or whatever because he was technically whatever. But the point is, like, yes, but also, like, Ricochet, you could argue in the time that he's been here since, I mean, who has had that short of a time?
And what he's done already.
The impact that he's had and the level of character that he's going to do and stuff like that. Like, I mean, he's hitting character work levels that we don't see people, you know, it took Sky Lou multiple years, Julia Hart multiple years to get there. You know what I mean? Chris Statlander knew how to do it, but just wasn't getting the opportunity. So it took her a while to get there. You know what I mean? This guy just does it instantly, and it's like, oh yeah, this guy was the guy that lost everybody in WWE. And every now and then I meme about how, oh my God, how this guy was wasted in WWE, and since we're not talking about it this week, I'll throw it in here. Shelton Benjamin, I wrote it in my notes again. His match with Okada. I mean, come on, dude. Dude, first of all, that was one of those matches on paper we spotted instantly, like, oh my God, this is happening. But like, how do you use that guy like that, or Ricochet like the way that you used him in the WWE? I will never understand.
The additions of the Hurt Syndicate, the additions of Okada, Mercedes, Ricochet, it's all just so brilliant. Even Deonna. Like, Deonna Purrazzo has been relevant her entire time here.
And if we somehow can like sneak Mina, if she somehow becomes like an AEW signing, then that's another great.
It's just been such a strong year. I can't wait to see where this goes next. We had that bloody Will Ospreay promo after this that was, you know, just fucking powerful. He's going to Disney World. If he wins, Okay. Up next, we had Mariah May take on and defeat Thunder Rosa to retain the AEW Women's World Championship in a Tijuana street fight. I thought they used the street fight elements pretty well. The sand in the eyes was a beautiful touch. Thunder Rosa was, she's just always so innovative, you know. She brings out that pinata, and you always want to see how that's going to pay off. Like, how do you pay off this pinata thing, right? And she paid it off brilliantly, of course, because that's what she does. She's a badass. And I like that touch. The finish, obviously, was just fucking incredible with the, getting the Storm Zero off the apron through a table. I mean, come on. That was good shit.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
And just another successful Mariah May championship defense. And I don't even really know where it goes next. And I think that's beautiful. Because you can just say you're killing time till Tony, right? But as we've been killing time, it's been from fun matches to fun programs. Just this week alone, how much they elevated this program. And it's been an enjoyable run for Mariah May.
I'm very worried for Thunder after this because what they pointed out on something, either the commentary or the pre-show, they talked about how she put everything on the line in this match. I mean, she brought her father in. She brought in the fucking, you know, the ship, the dirt from the graves of Tijuana, Mexico. Well, not the graves, from the graveyards of Tijuana, Mexico. But you know, in my mind, it's literally the grave dirt, you know, of departed souls. You know what I mean?
Digging the goddamn dirt.
And you know, so she put everything on the line here, called the stipulation, and still got beat. So I don't know where you take Thunder from there.
Yeah.
Honestly, probably take a heel and have them try and poke at that, but I don't know. I'm not sure who that would be necessarily.
Got a lot of options. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things she could do from it. And honestly, you could even turn Thunder into making heel, her turn 100%, heel.
Yeah. And she was always about great that before. As a heel. Oh, yeah. So yeah, absolutely. So, and Nigel hit a funny line of right at the beginning of the match. He was like, you know, I forget what the setup was, but he said simping ain't easy because of his support for Mariah. So, you know, that popped me.
Son of a bitch. He knows.
Yep. And yeah, I mean, chairs, tax, everything you could want in a Plunderfest, basically, and, you know, the world title match. So, I mean, it's exactly what you expect. And I also wrote in my notes that Mariah May is
rough. Yeah. It wasn't like the most interesting weapons that we've ever seen in one of these matches, but I don't think it needed to be because the finish hit what it needed to. And you know,
another show, this is a fucking 20-minute drag out, but this is not what it was. This wasn't that big of a deal for you. This was just, you know, we wanted a contender that had
a good match. Yeah.
Just a solid contender for the champion to beat, who's been a champion before, who probably will be a champion again, and hasn't been featured as much as they should be. And I'll be honest, because Thunder's been doing great work on TV, just hasn't really had an opportunity. And this is how you reward somebody who's done well at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Give her a championship match on the pay-per-view, and it's a good match. So I thought the wrapping the chain around Mariah's throat was pretty sick.
Oh, yeah. There was some great visuals. There was
pretty good spots, yeah.
There'll be some stuff that'll be good to throw in like a video package if they decide to run. You know, honestly, hear me out. I know we didn't really set anything up. I would be fine if we just ran this back again. You know what I mean? Because it seems like, it feels like the way it was left, it almost feels like we kind of need to for Thunder. You know what I mean? Like, just so that she has something out of this. And maybe we do three. Maybe we just do this for a couple months, because I'm fine with that. Mariah hasn't had an extended feud in some time, I feel like. That was actually multiple months and felt like, wow, this is, we're doing something here. We're not just, you know, shuffling to the next contender.
Yeah, her feuds tend to be like 4 to 5 weeks. So
I'd be fine with a longer one. And I don't see it. I think she could carry it, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, so we jumped into MJF and Adam Cole. So while the story building up to the match has been fairly flat to say the least, it just hasn't been getting kind of the reaction and the heat that you'd really want it to. Once the bell rang, all that bullshit goes out the door, right?
Yep. Honestly, when MJF's music hit, let's be real.
It really is. All of that goes out the door because you're sitting there and you're watching MJF and Adam Cole. So you can, it can be the worst buildup you've ever seen. And we covered, it was when we were doing our old show with one of the fast lanes. It was like the worst build we've ever seen to a card. But once the bell rang and that talent went out there and fucking killed it, all night. It was like one of the best pay-per-views of the year, and it was a February pay-per-view.
Didn't like KO win a championship on that show and end up having one of the best matches of the year or something? Like
it was just, that was always the example I try and think of in wrestling, of like no matter what the build is, just wait till the show. Because if the show delivers, you kind of don't care about that. So, this ended up being, I think, a really strong match. Mike Bennett and Matt Taven were protecting the Dynamite Diamond Ring. MJF got them thrown out in just an absolute hilarious MJF fashion. Get those sons of bitches out of here. I thought Adam Cole looked good. I thought MJF looked good. MJF is so fucking talented, man. I wouldn't be surprised if in 2025 he goes for the world championship again.
It does feel like it's been a while. And if I think this is not crazy to say, we threatened that match with Swerve forever ago. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We're like actual throwdown match between them. I would love to see that. I would love to see them actually go out there and just see what the two of them can do. Obviously, Swerve's got something else he needs to deal with, yep. And Ricochet, but we can get there. You know, we got a whole baby.
There's a couple angles. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them, maybe MJF messing with the Hurt Syndicate next. They weren't on tonight, dude, so I don't know what's going on. I don't know what
I would love. You know what? We haven't done with Max in a while. I know we technically just wrapped one up with the Undisputed, but he was never really a part of that group. You know what I mean? That group was formed as a response to him, you know? I would love to see him like fake team up with the Hurt Syndicate for a bit, you know, and then do a fucking Chris Jericho / the other groups that he's joined and fucking betray them. That would be fucking awesome. You know what I mean?
The visuals of that would be brilliant.
Yes.
Because you know MVP's face when Max is out there trying to like pitch to join. They'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? That would work. No, that would work.
I know you guys have been looking for a young and up-and-coming talent.
They'd just be giving each other some looks and be like, yeah, I can't wait to beat this motherfucker's ass.
Oh, dude, that would be good. Fucking great. That might be him versus Bobby might be it, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, it might be the move, you know? Like, shit.
MJF ends up hitting the low blow, and he hit the Heat Seeker, got the win. He's now held this thing, I think, 6 times he's won this ring.
They just did fucking retire the thing, man. I know.
It's so strange.
I understand. It literally never gets defended. This thing was
sold at a pawn shop in Buffalo when MJF's goons went and got it back.
I know, man. How fucking that's kind of bullshit. I mean, you know.
Who are these goons? Let me see them.
Oh, we know who they are. Come on.
War Dog and the fucking three French bread. Roddy returns, hits the ring. MJF bails up the ramp. Kyle O'Reilly appears, ran MJF to the ring. The Undisputed Kingdom officially kind of reforms, taking out Wardlow. And now you have the group. So I think this assumes Kyle is no longer in the conglomeration, which is fine. The conglomeration's got a lot of members now anyway, so.
And to be honest with you, Kyle never really did anything in singles with it, which I think was their idea, was that he was going to spin his singles run off.
It was just really for the over-the-summer collision stuff, mm-hmm. And it worked for what it was.
It did, and I feel like they filled some spots on Rampage as well, and, you know, I would much rather him be with his boys. This was what this was about, was World's End. Charlie, I didn't even realize this. World's End to World's End was a story, even though obviously we couldn't tell the story because people were hurt or whatever. But, you know, But for what it was, and I'll be honest with you, it was one of the worst builds to a fucking finale of a giant multi-year feud ever, right? Because God knows we didn't need it to be that long, and it wasn't planned to be that long. I mean, maybe it was, but it wasn't planned to be that long in this way. So to somehow be able to pull it together and pay it off, first of all, shout out to the two guys that main evented the biggest AEW show of all time against each other, you know? Because obviously, you know, they had to deliver. But I'm so happy for Adam Cole, dude, because we were so worried when he came back because it'd been so long, and we just want the guy to be happy. And then all the shit with Britt Baker went down, you know. And I know I don't usually bring that stuff up on here, but it's relevant because I feel like how someone is feeling when they're heading into these things matters. You know what I mean? And somehow to be able to block out all the noise, because you know there's been noise, even though we're not the ones making it. There's absolutely shitbags on social media. I mean, that was the fucking first question that Tony Khan had asked at the media was, how do you deal with negativity online? And I'm glad that the way he responded to that question was by saying, I don't care about that. He didn't say that, but that's basically the implication I got from him. I don't care about that stuff. Yes, I know that it's out there and it sucks, but we want to focus on the positive things that this company does and that are said every week about this company. And there's a massive difference
between actual criticism and bad faith arguments. Yes. And it's, oh, it's just really hard with AEW. It's very, very hard.
But I say so this much to you all the bad time. Faith. I'm with that guy in the media. I hate seeing it all the time. I'm almost deleted my Twitter multiple times recently because of it. Like, yeah. If it wasn't the only way we communicated, I would do it. You know what I mean? Like, but like, I just, cause I, every time
that's why I like my up, Blue Sky for wrestling content.
Oh, 100%.
It's positive everywhere. I mean, even the WWE stuff I see, it's fucking, it's positive. It's nice. You know, I haven't seen more fucking pro wrestling Noah stuff in years than I've seen on Blue Sky. And it's fucking, it's just refreshing. Cause I, you know, it's always interesting to see what's happening in the world. You know,
so. Yeah, just to see it all come together in a way that I just, yeah. I could never have imagined. It makes me so happy because I really hope this means that for this new Undisputed Kingdom that we're going to have a full group of the boys. And I think based on the save and how they hit the high-low, I think we might have a little bit of Kyle and Roddy, maybe Red Dragon action, you know, with a... I mean, obviously, I don't know if that's even going to be the case. It'd be really weird trying to start three singles careers all at the same time, though. You know what I mean? Like, so
look,
I would
you can do assume. The trios titles. You can do Kingdom going Kyle, for tag. Oh,
wait, didn't Adam and Kyle imply they might go for the tag titles at some point? I'd be down with that, actually, to be honest with you. Them versus Private Party can be really fun. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, hey, I'm down for lots of things. And obviously, we changed the name from Red Dragon to just maybe just Undisputed Kingdom, obviously, at that point or something. But, like, you know, either way, I'm fine with that, and basically, it's kind of like the same thing as we were saying with the last couple of things. Like, I'm really excited to see where this goes next because they set it up in a way that I'm now interested. So,
yes, I think it's going to be pretty good. So, up next we had Konosuke Takeshita taking on a defeating powerhouse Hobbs. This was the ultimate meat mayhem, it felt like. Every time Hobbs
has been co-opted by the meat at this point.
Yeah, and every time Hobbs hit a move, you'd get a meat chant, and then it started just happening for Konosuke. So it's like, you know what? Fuck it.
The meat transferred on to him. He got meated.
The meat has been transferred. I like it. I just thought this was a solid match. It brought some good power. Some of Hobbs' selling was so good. I think people actually thought he was hurt. And as far as we know, I think it was still just selling.
No, dude, I actually thought he was like, the leg looked like it was fucked at one point, and I was like, oh, he's just selling. I think, okay, this is a good point. It's time to bring this up because you brought that up. Okay, so he was slinging the meat like a true monster among meats. I put that in my notes, right?
Monster among meats, yes.
Yes. But he was actually fucking selling, and so was Konosuke for Hobbs. Like, they were both selling the fuck out of each other's moves in a way that I think I haven't really seen people do both. I don't think I've really seen either of them do both ways, because Konosuke wrestles that very Japanese, like, I'm gonna just keep fucking, you know, no selling your moves. It's kind of the same thing Okada will do on you every now and then. You know what I mean? Like, where he's like, oh, you have to hit 15 finishers on me, bitch, because I'm just too strong. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, like, I often think about that, shit, what was the match we watched where Okada hit, like, fucking 11? Was it him versus Jay White where he hit, like, fucking 11 Rainmakers or something like that?
And probably,
couldn't put him away? Anyway, I just remember, like, being in a fever dream of Rainmakers and whatever other moves they were hitting. But anyway, you know, like... So, like, it was interesting to see them both kind of be on the back foot from each other, and it felt like they were almost evenly matched, which is a really good look for Hobbs, because everyone kind of knows how good Konosuke is at this point. But Hobbs, everyone knows how good he is. He just hasn't been given the opportunities, and we all know that. So, like, I don't know. I think I was really impressed with Hobbs' ability to sell, because I think the other thing is Konosuke is – very well liked, but he's never really been, you know, treated like a serious threat sometimes. I'll just be honest, you know what I mean? Other than when he won this title, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's important for you to make him look like an absolute monster against guys like this, because a guy like Hobbs, everyone knows there's the reason the meat chants are happening, because he's a big ass dude. So I think it's like actually really smart booking on Tony Khan's part to put this match on this card, because, you know, it sounds like a random match, if we're being honest, just because Hobbs hadn't been around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like it needed to happen, you know what I mean?
No, and it had reasons, a decent, you know, build. It had some decent build to it. It was, you know, they could have just done this on Collision or on Dynamite, and it felt like at one point they were going to, but they just said, let's hold
it. Maybe there was an argument for this main event in the last Rampage or something, but at the same time, I like that we got this on the pay-per-view because it elevates both guys a little bit more, and I do think Konosuke deserved a spot on this pay-per-view.
He did, and it was a good time. A guillotine, he was holding the front guillotine, hit the Raging Fire for the victory. So, yeah, Konosuke just looked like a beast. Powerhouse Hobbs looked like the absolute meat mayhem that he is, and I really enjoyed the hell out of it. There, that avalanche like superplex was fucking beautiful, though. That was beautiful shit. Backstage interview with Okada talks about Will Ospreay's his younger brother's little brother. He's on another level, but not Okada's level, bitch. Good stuff.
Up next. He's so subtly good at promos that I think people forget sometimes. Like, he's not like, you know, it may not sound like perfect English to someone who doesn't like understand what someone who's not like, you know, from America or England speaking English sounds like or whatever. But like, it's like, again, he's subtly very good. Again, I don't know what the promos that he would cut in New Japan were like, because I didn't really watch those, you know, sort of fake press briefings afterward or whatever. But I gotta imagine he was just as good, because you don't get this level. I can't think of another person who does it. He literally says a few sentences, but it's enough, and it gets across more in those few sentences than people do in their entire like 10-minute promo. You know what I mean? And I'm like, how is this possible? But then it's just like, you know what? There's a reason why this guy's been on top for a decade over in Japan. You know what I mean? So, you know, I shouldn't be surprised. It still threw me because I was like, okay.
Yeah. No, definitely. And our next match was Mercedes Moné taking on and defeating Chris Statlander to retain the TBS championship. This match started off slower, and it was to build throughout. And they built that heat perfectly. The crowd was rooting so hard for Statlander. But Mercedes is doing this shit. They can't help but root for her, even though she's the heel. And this was worth noting. This is the longest match in AEW's women's history, I saw. So, and they killed that time that they were given. The crowd really, really wanted Statlander to win this.
Did this one hit 20 minutes or not? I'm curious.
Yeah, it was just a tick under 25.
Okay, so I remember saying, I think we had like a 17 or 18 minute match on like one of the shows recently. I remember saying then, I thought we were going to hit 20. They were going to hit 20 minutes at some point and be like right on par with the men. The tick under 25, that's what they would give. Most of the men don't even get 24, 25 minutes.
It was the longest match of the night.
So they,
by like 6 minutes.
Now, and I think it's been probably a couple of years now, they've been distrusted, but they just haven't been given these opportunities yet. And so the fact that it's these two in this spot, it makes complete sense to me. And I'm just so glad that this is, you know, AEW, people will never give AEW the credit that they should for how it's revolutionizing pro wrestling for women specifically. And they will eventually, like 5-10 years down the road, they will if we're still around, right? But like, you know, it's just fascinating to see it in real time now, because I mean, you have literally two innovative pro wrestlers going at it for a championship here in a big spot on a show, and they deliver in a huge way. And I don't know, man, it's kind of, like I said, I think it's very difficult for me to put into words sometimes how impressed I am with the women, and how it almost feels like on a more consistent basis than the men they deliver sometimes. I mean, look at this show. Yes, you had so much phenomenal stuff that the men did, but look at what the women were given on this show, the spots and the opportunities that they were given, and how they delivered so heavily in both situations. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it's just something like, I think it's worth pointing out sometimes, especially on a show where there's not like five women's matches, you know what I mean? There's only a couple, and they were both very important, very good, but you know, it's not the same thing as like, you know, a Dynamite might have three women's matches on it and two women's backstage segments or something like that. You know what I mean? So like, you know, it really just depends. I think the match itself was one of my favorite of the year. I think somehow Mercedes is impossible to pick a favorite. It's like, it's the same thing as Will. Every match she had this year was insane. So pick one, and that's probably your favorite women's match of the year. You know, like, so.
She really just... This was timed. This is one of those slow burns that was timed perfectly, because it didn't feel slow in the sense that it's boring, which is something I had to point out, you know, at our last pay-per-view with Moxley, was he was doing these slow methodical matches, but it was like boring you. Whereas this, it's just the way it was being executed and how they're interacting with the crowd, this, that, and the other, and wrapping up Statlander's legs in the fucking, you know, in the ring, right? Where she has to rip off her own boot. She's got to chop off her own goddamn leg just to survive. Like, you name it. And it was just, it created an energy when she hit that, the Eddie Guerrero, like, fucking, you know, suplex thing that she does, and she hit it 7 times in a row, dude, people are on their feet fucking roaring, and this is the heel.
Very, I mean, loud. It's Mercedes for you, though. Mercedes is truly the, like, best women's wrestler in the world. Probably is in conversation for top 10 wrestlers in the world, which is going to piss some people off. I don't care. It's the truth.
She just understands it. And I love that. She, there was a visual when Stat crawled back in the ring after that third time of the going to the 10 count, where Mercedes is looking down at her, and she is, like, just in disbelief that no way you're in here right now. How is this? What the? She hit the seatbelt. She got a seatbelt pin for the leg trapped under to get the victory. Post-match, she kind of gave, like, a nod of respect to her before celebrating up the ramp. And Stalliner got a loud ovation from the crowd as she made her way to the back. Yeah. No. By the way, it's something I got to mention. The music for both of these ladies, dude, it fucking hit. You always kind of wonder, like, what's the vibe going to be like in because as much as I love going to Daily's Place, the music there, it does not ever feel it. I don't know how to describe it. It feels like very low. At this UCF arena, dude, it was fucking popping. When Top Flight's music hit, dude, the fucking 808s on that thing. Oh my God, you feel it in your fucking bones. So, yeah, no, it got you pretty excited. So Chris Stylander's theme, big dub in person. I was pretty impressed. How fucking sick that sounded in person. But just really, I'm happy that they got this, you know, longest match of the night, and it deserved it. Like, it really did. So, really good stuff. God, I love where our women's championships are. I really am so happy with it right now.
It's funny. I think both championships are kind of in this weird position where, like, who takes them off of either of them? I don't know. Somebody,
and that's a testament to how great the champions are.
Yep. Somebody with a hell of a lot of hype behind them. That's who it's got to be. Because yeah. I, at this point, the only person I can think of that could take either of them off would be, like, Mina. I don't think that's
honestly, I think it's soon. Jamie. But they're purposely kind of
there, though. We have a whole feud she has to have before then.
Yeah,
so
they're purposely kind of waiting. So, you know, she's doing the Julia Hart thing. I think they know that with Jamie, that she is, you know, that fucking, because she can have other programs without the title, and that builds more women's wrestling. So, okay, here we go. Zuchiko Okada takes on and defeats Will Ospreay to win the 2024 Continental Classic and retain the Continental Championship. Right away, holy shit chance, JR made his way to commentary. Ospreay wasted no time, go for that fucking, just going so fast. Oh, they have such great chemistry together. Truly some unbelievable chemistry. There were some counters, just reverse scenarios here, that you can't help but be like, this is fucking perfection. It's this good. Oh, God. This was, as I saw some people saying online, you know, with a white hot crowd, having this kind of match be as good as it was, it just adds that extra element. Oh, my God, man. I mean, we're like 3 hours into the show and people are just fucking hooting and hollering still. They can't help it. They're just freaking the fuck out.
Wait, you were probably in the crowd doing the robot?
If I had the Vietnamese iced coffee, I would have been doing the robot. Just so much fun. That Spanish fly that Ospreay hit on one of his reversals of the Rainmaker is going to live in my brain forever with how perfect it was. Just, oh my God. Give me some of your thoughts on this match. We'll go through some of it. But, dude, oh my God, man.
Yeah, I mean, so your Continental Classic Finals had to deliver. They did last year. They had to this year because of the people that were in it and what the finals were. And, God, you got to watch both Okada and Will wrestle twice in one night. You lucky son of a bitch. Anyway,
I couldn't, dude. I wanted to see Will Ospreay wrestle so bad. And to get it twice, yeah, like, twice, dude, come on, man.
And you got to see Okada wrestle twice. I mean, like, you know, these are guys you probably, like, I mean, I have to imagine that, you know, Will is one thing. Seeing Okada in person had to be surreal.
Because that's someone you never think you'd ever see. Right. I never thought I'd ever
see. So few like, shows, even for AEW, yep. that you just don't imagine you're ever going to see him in person. You got to see him wrestle twice in one night. You
know, I was like, well, like, make the trip to Japan one day, maybe. But
yeah, no, that seems like, realistic. Yeah, because he can possibly show up there. It's more likely you're going to see him there. Or maybe he doesn't spend a ton of time in AEW and eventually goes back to Japan. That's kind of how I see things going, actually.
And then the AEW thing happened. It's like, wait a minute. There's a real chance he could be wrestling. In America, and it's just happens it's a fucking pay per view against Ospreay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, buddy. Yeah, no. And they just had a beautiful match, man. It's like a match of the year quality again. It's like pick a Will Ospreay match. You could literally hit a randomizer on every one of Will Ospreay's matches this year and pick one if you wanted to for your favorite match of the year. Because
I mean, the match with Danielson.
Yep.
The match with Takeshita.
Yep.
This match with Okada.
Yep.
The match with Pac?
He had matches
the match with MJF?
I mean, I'm sorry, with the Ospreay. Yeah, he had mere matches. No, he had matches with Kyle Fletcher. You know,
yeah.
He had matches with just about everybody under the sun.
And even not in this company. His matches against Mike Bailey. That match against Josh Alexander. Like, the fucking... You know? Dude, it's insane. Wasn't
there a Michael Oku match somewhere in there, too?
Yeah, it was this year. Insane. He's so fucking good, man.
How crazy it's going to be when, like, you know, the, you know, Wrestling Observer has him at, like, Wrestler of the Year 3.
Ospreay at one point went for that hidden blade, and Okada hit his drop kick. Ospreay no-sells it, hits a hook kick, tries another off kick, another off cutter, gets a drop kick in midair, and then that's where Okada tried to hit his Rainmaker. Ospreay ducks and hit his own Rainmaker, hit the Stormbreaker. And, dude, it was just electric in there.
I can't believe that only got two. I was like, I was mind blown because I was like, oh my God, Okada's literally going into fucking God mode right now.
And Okada wins, which, dude, I'm happy with it, man. I think, look, Okada as Continental Champion, it was off to kind of a bit of a slower start, but they were doing that heel thing.
Hey, I just had to gas myself really quickly. Not only did I predict this final when we did our predictions, I predicted the fucking winner.
Yeah. It's pretty dude.
You know, Okada. Not that crazy to do. Okada winning a tournament. Oh, my God.
This was going to be the final no matter what.
Yeah, other news,
picking the winner is the hard part.
11.
Yeah. And it was just really good, man. I mean, he's had a really fun run. Really, again, the back like quarter of the year has been just some of AEW's. It's been stupid. I mean, really, from All In, you take All In and you fucking go to the end of the year, counting All Out, all the beautiful programs we had in between. Again, Bryan Danielson versus Okada had a 30-minute fucking match on Dynamite in October. Like, this happened. Really, really fun stuff.
It's just nuts that, like, the three best wrestlers in the world are all in the same company right now. And that's been the case for, like, the last, like, 3-4 years. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of insane. Like, you know?
It's very special.
And
now we have the returning.
Yes.
Kenny Omega.
I knew as soon as Okada won. Because there's only one place left to go with this title right
now. Yes.
And
it's Kenny Omega at All In.
Yes.
This is how you move your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
This is the match. You can build for it however the fuck you want. You have time. You don't need to rush this tomorrow. This is laying the fucking seeds because everyone knows it's going to happen. And now it's how do you get there? Wow. Tony Schiavone, I guess, asked how long it will take for Kenny Omega to get into ring shape.
He's wrestling next week, Tony.
I know. People, Shivani has tried to give people shit in the past but dude, just fucking pay attention, dude. Like, you literally read this shit off.
Like, did
every
they
week.
Not? I'm so curious. But I hope they touch a lot on it this week because it feels like AEW's treating this like it doesn't matter, and it's making me a little sad. But I'm hoping now that we're post World's End, they're gonna really, really lock in this week, like they do for. Forbidden Door. Usually Forbidden Door, it's like 2 weeks. They'll kind of really lock in. So, but no, Kenneth Omega returned. great to see.
I literally got emotional and teared up because I knew how much this meant to you personally. And so, yeah. I mean, we talked about it in the week leading up. I remember, was it on the podcast? I think I might have said it to you. I forget. But it just felt like I couldn't. The last time that I couldn't tell what was going to happen and I just didn't have any feelings going into a pay-per-view, fucking Roderick Strong showed up with no fucking prior. Like, we had heard that he might possibly come to AEW, but it was not a sure thing at all. And it was, like, within weeks of that, he was there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and it was like, still, is he still under contract? Like, no one really knew.
He was just one of the ones, the contract we didn't know when he got out of it, obviously, because he had a good relationship with Triple H, presumably. You know what I mean? Like, but he walked and it was just like instantly gone. And I think it was literally like 2 days after the announcement came out that, yeah, no, he's free and clear. I forget who said that, probably Dave, you know what I mean? But like whoever it was came out and said, yeah, no, he's not obligated to not show up, and then literally showed up instantly. Cause you know what I mean? Like, you know, so I was like, and you were also there for that, for those that don't know, which is kind of a fucking full circle moment. Because that was the last time I can remember that they really threw me with just a surprise, you know, showing up or return. So for you, as one of the biggest Elite / Kenny Omega fans, probably the biggest Kenny Omega mark in the world, I would say.
Definitely,
you know,
up there.
Other than like maybe Brandon Cutler, you know what I mean? But like you might have Cutler beat. At least, you know, at least, yeah, that guy's definitely got less hair. But anyway, first of all, when you heard the music hit, what were the feelings you were feeling, and then just your reaction to your
I was just so elated, man. I was so happy that Kenny is finally back, and he's, you know, he's doing the Wrestle Dynasty thing, and that's been fun to keep up with. But when is he popping back up in the company that we primarily cover, you know? And it felt so good. God, just to hear the roar and to see him in that fucking badass suit, man. God, he looked like a fucking beast. Was so happy. So happy. This was a fucking back-to-back just losing your mind for a couple times. And yeah, I'm very excited to see where this goes with Kenny Omega being back on AEW television. I'm very curious if he's going to put over Gabe Kidd. I am not going to be shocked if he does.
It'd be very fitting given that he's come back. He hasn't wrestled in forever. He should be a little rusty. And Gabe Kidd deserves to be able to beat somebody like
Kenny. I hope we see Gabe Kidd on Dynamite this week.
I would love to see Kenny pass the torch of the top gaijin to that kid. He deserves it. That kid's worked so
hard. Let him go on a hell of a run this year. He's really doing some crazy shit.
World Championship. I mean, they like him enough, honestly. And maybe you have him win like one of the tournaments, you know, maybe not the G1, or maybe you do. I don't know, but he's been in it. But I mean, I don't think he's there yet. Maybe have him tag up with somebody and win the tag turn or something like that, and then have him face for the world title and maybe lose, and then set up for him to go on a run similar to, you know, Jay, where he sort of did that for a little while, you know. I mean, there's opportunity in Japan right now, and I hope that kid seizes it.
Then we have our main event time, where Jon Moxley is defending his AEW World Championship against Orange Cassidy, Switchblade Jay White, and Hangman Adam Page.
I gotta be honest with you. No offense to this feud. I was not that into this going into this. I'll be honest. I was like, it's fine. It'll be good. But I just didn't. I'll just be honest. I didn't really have a whole lot of expectations for this match. They delivered massively, I feel like.
Carry on that. What'd you think of it?
I'm curious how this played for the crowd, because I actually think that they ended up, you know, it was exactly what I expected it to be, because it was the Death Riders trying to do their thing, and ultimately the three of them could never get on the same page, you know what I mean? Anyway, but you know, they could never really get on the same page. And from jump, it was literally Orange Cassidy trying to take his revenge on Moxley. And you had Jay White, who had his own, you know, personal goals. And you have Hangman Adam Page, who just wants to cause pain, misery, and torment to everyone because of what happened between him and Swerve. You know what I mean? So, you know, and I like the little touch that they threw earlier on in the night, where Christopher Daniels followed up on the conversation they'd had previously this month, where Hangman basically told him, bro, I'm an adult. I don't need you to, you know, tell me what I'm doing wrong or right. I'm handling it. And you know that if you were in my position, you would have done the same thing. See, he's like, yeah, I mean, you know, I agree with that. I don't know what I'd do in that situation, but I got your back tonight. Because he knew everyone else was going to have somebody in their corner. that ultimately didn't end up playing into the match that much. We didn't see Bullet Club Gold, which the lack of seeing them has got me a little concerned. I'll be honest with you. I mean, obviously,
if we do know they were at the show, the guns were there.
So they could have used them. So I'm a little worried for them that they're not getting lost in the shuffle because they're very talented. So, but that's a side note. And, you know, obviously we didn't really see anything from you know, Hangman's friend. You would assume Kenny would have done something, but that was not the end game here. So, no. I guess in my head, I didn't picture this as being a moment that we were going to put a return. If there was going to be a return here, I thought, well, maybe Kenny or something like that. Or maybe,
because
yeah. No, go ahead.
Look, we have to set up someone for Moxley to face next. I thought the shenanigans were afoot in this match, as you'd expect.
That's why I was certain he was losing, because I was like, there's no one to fucking set up. I mean, who are you?
I don't understand why they kept it on him, man. I mean, look, if you're going to run the Adam Copeland angle, and like you said, you know, we're coming for it all, right? So he wants the Trios title and he wants the World Championship. Look, that's fine. I wonder if internally how they're monitoring this championship reign.
Yeah.
I wonder if internally maybe it is working, you know. I just can't tell. I really think people wanted Christian to cash in. His Christian in the Bank. I think you could feel that vibe a little bit. And then obviously once, you know, moment of the match was Jay White hitting the Blade Runner on Marina. Again, intergender wrestling. It's such easy shit, and it gets people excited. I think it always will.
They're going to do it eventually. They're going to have a match eventually, and people are going to flip out and call it fake wrestling, and someone's going to quit the company, I'm sure. Probably Jeff Jarrett. No, I'm kidding. It probably won't be him, but like...
No, but intergender wrestling, it works.
But it pissed some wrestling fans off. I think Cody Rhodes is not a fan of it. Like, I think there are some like high-level wrestlers that don't like it at all because they think it's unrealistic, you know?
I mean, think about when Nia Jax entered the Men's Rumble and was starting to lay waste to those motherfuckers, and Randy Orton hits that RKO, everyone loses their fucking minds. You can do it. It's been able to be done. Dude, imagine if we had fucking Willow versus Jay White or something. Like, it would be awesome.
Can you imagine the match that Mercedes and Bryan Danielson would have?
Yes! Yes! Give me Statlander versus Anthony Bones and see what happens. It'd be fun.
I kind of just want to see what that match would be like just in general. Fuck.
No, but FTR came out, rated FTR appears on the monitor machine, whatever you want to call it.
You got your moment with Kenny, and I got my fucking moment. And you get to see this in person, though, you lucky son of a bitch. God damn.
Yeah, this is
fucking rated R bullshit.
It was awesome. It was great. And Adam Copeland returns. He's seemingly Moxley's next feud now, which I think is fine. I think Adam Copeland going for the world championship is totally fine. I just think people were really ready for Jay White to win this.
No, I mean,
or Hangman. I will say there was a vibe for Hangman too. Not really Orange Cassidy, at least where I was near.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people wanted that retained at all. So to me, you know, because if you guys have been following the show, you can kind of see where I've been. I've been kind of down on this title reign. I've been taking it for what it is because I love Jon Moxley. But I've been a little down on it, just in how they've shooting it with the chemicals was the most ridiculous fucking. That's just, it was just dumb to me. And if it worked for you, that's cool. I just have been down on it. So I was curious how others would react. And I think people really, probably Hangman the most of anyone, but me, I was rooting for Jay White. And, you know, now we have a lot more pieces in the puzzle here. You know, the Death Riders, while they are Trios champions, no pack tonight. Don't know what happened with that. They're Trios champions, but you got rated FTR on your backs. You got Adam Copeland coming for your world championship now. And Adam Copeland, he kicks some ass. That spear got a big pop. And that match is going to be good. Calling him kid, you know? I think that'd be a fun way to start the year.
Oh, I agree. And I think I'm with you that I do. I'm a little concerned with the title reign, but I mean, I think in my head, if it's not about to have the rug pulled out from under us, what I think is going to happen is Adam's going to be 2 seconds away from winning, and we're going to get the cash in. Or we may get him winning, and then we immediately get the cash in.
So we have to be careful, though, because Christian's already cashed in on Adam the minute after he won a title. So are they going to do that again? I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense. Who else would he do it to? I mean, you know, yeah, should he, you know... I don't like the idea of them deciding to have him like do something stupid like cash in mid-match or something like that because of that. Yeah. Like, I don't want that to be what they do.
I don't. It doesn't need to be a Money in the Bank. He should just fucking turn it in and have a pay-per-view match.
No, I agree.
But he's waiting for his opportunity. That
because he would be under no... There would be no... If Adam has the title, which is the only one I want to see, I don't want to see him do it to John before. Because then it feels like I want to see Moxley versus Adam Copeland. That needs to be a match we see. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I just don't do that and we're good. Even if that means having him cash in, like to avoid it or something, I'm fine with that. It still feels a little weird. I feel like that's what we should do. Just have him turn it in and be like, you know, like, I've been, you know, palling around what I do with this, but now I'm certain I need to take it off of Adam Copeland. That is why I'm going to cash in for this pay-per-view or something, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty simple, and I do enjoy FTR and Adam Copeland being back. And obviously...
That'll be a fun pairing. It's going to be a really fun pairing.
We're
going to
hear something, I'm sure, from Adam Copeland on that show. Obviously, we know FTR wrestling, you know what I mean? So... but I'm sure they'll cut some kind of promo of setting up what they're actually doing. I mean, he's obviously going after the world title. He set it on the scrum afterwards. So, you know, it should be, I would love to see him win the world title. I'll just say it. I would love for Adam Copeland to be our world champion. I think it's,
it'd be fine.
You know, I think it's another one of those legitimizing moments, like Punk winning or sorry, the Butcher winning. And, you know, as well as Bryan Danielson. And, you know, I think, Kenny,
to get those guys on the championship legacy.
I think Adam Copeland should be an AEW world champion. That's just my opinion, though, because it's my fucking guy. You know what I mean? I'm gonna root for him and everything. You know,
it's your boy. Yeah. So, and I wouldn't mind getting back to Swerve this year, depending on where we go. You know, again, the Swerve MJF thing would be a lot of fun. So, yeah, guys. I believe that is it. So I would call this another successful AEW pay-per-view. They're the gold standard of pay-per-views. It was a blast to go to it. This Tuesday, there will not be a normal show, but we will have our awards show, our third annual? Third edition? So our Eat Sleep Elite award show, it'll be coming to you guys on Tuesday. That'll be fun. And then the next week, we're... The ball's going to be rolling. It's going to be rolling pretty nuts. We have Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty back-to-back nights. That'll be fun. And, yeah, lots of good wrestling going on. January is always fun for wrestling, especially in Japan. So now we have an extra show with it. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out. If you are interested at all in checking out that stuff, this is your first time listening to us, really appreciate it if you hit that little follow button on whatever platform you're on. We would... love to have you join us for our normal shows, because we have four shows pretty much from here till next week. So it's going to be fun. Hope you enjoyed World's End 2. And on that bombshell,
oh my Wardlow. God, his face, he's morphing into Wardlow!
Wardlow!